Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
We are in sermon number two of our Flip the Script series, where Jesus is teaching this very popular message called the Sermon on the Mount in the book of Matthew. Hundreds, probably thousands of people were surrounded on this hillside near Capernaum, listening to him teach things that actually went completely against everything they'd ever learned about religion. And it made zero sense to them. They were so challenged, and you know what? We should still be challenged today by the words that he says in this, okay? Jesus taught us in this portion of scripture, this big chunk of scripture, that following him, pursuing his kingdom, takes a completely different path than what seems normal, right? It takes a completely different path than what seems normal to the culture we live in. Ha, last week. Jason taught about, Pastor Jason, sorry. I call him Jason at home. Pastor Jason. he taught about the portion of scripture. We know him as the Beatitudes, but, you know, we're just going to refer to it as hashtag blessed from here on out. Hashtag blessed. And here's what I took away from it. So I'm going to share with you my takeaway. It's okay. And we should recognize God's goodness in the good things, right? That's okay. We should recognize God's goodness. But we absolutely have to recognize him in the hard times too. Okay? And I think that there's a lot of good things about social media. Okay, there's a lot of good things, and we get to like connect with people that we wouldn't normally ever connect with and talk to. But one of the negative things about social media is people get to give a false persona of their life. Oh man, you know what? Like, I got this check in the mail today, and my finances are so great. I just see God's working. Hashtag blessed. Yes, absolutely. God's blessing you in that. But if that's all we ever talk about of the good things, then all we're showing is that if you are going through rough times, then you're not blessed. I mean, that's really, I mean, I was listening to the message last week. Okay? So what if you want to talk about the good things, great, do it. But let's talk about the hard things too. Man, listen, I'm struggling this week. My bank account shows that I have $2. But guess what? I was obedient in what God asked me to do, and I know he's going to come through to me because I am hashtag blessed. Right? It's all about doing things differently. That's what Jesus was talking about. We're blessed when great things happen. We're blessed when we're poor. We're blessed when we're sick. We're blessed when people are angry at us. We're blessed when people question our character. We are hashtag blessed at every moment of our lives because God reigns above it all. Okay, that's all I wanted to say about that. Woo! So, take that to your social media platform and post it. So in the next section of this hillside on the message, woo, Jesus gets really personal with what? It is. It's the message on the hillside. Okay, whatever. But in this next section on this message that Jesus is preaching, he addresses some behaviors and expectations to all of us that call ourselves Christians, Christ followers. If you're sitting in this room and you're like, ooh, I'm not that. I'm not a Christian. I'm not a Christ follower. I'm here because someone asked me to be here. That is so great. You're here because actually someone did what Jesus was telling them to do in this message, and you're going to have an opportunity to become a Christian at the end of this. All right? Because here's what Jesus said. As he opened up this next portion of scripture, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, I'm going to get out of the way so you can actually see. Here's what Jesus says. You, and he's talking to everyone that believes what he's saying, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. That's the section. Let's talk about this. The message title for today, you ready? It's really funny. Savory and Shiny. That's our message title. God, Jesus is calling us in this section to be savory and shiny. And if you have ever watched the movie Moana, you absolutely should have the song Shiny going through your head right now. Okay? This passage gives us specific directions to those of us who declare to be Christian. So let's talk about it. The first thing that Jesus tells us is to be savory and leave people wanting more. What? Paul, he didn't say that. Well, he did. He said that. He called us the salt of the earth. That's what he said. You are the salt of the earth. What does salt do? Salt enhances the flavor of anything that it's put on, right? If something is bland or lacking flavor, like, I need to bring out the taste in this, what do? We grab the salt shaker, right? We grab the salt. Adding salt brings out the intended flavor of what we are eating. When something is well seasoned, we want more. When something is well seasoned, I go back for seconds. Can you tell? Okay? Jesus is telling us to live, to speak, to treat others in a way that leaves them wanting more. That's what he's saying. You're the salt of the earth. Your behavior should like make people like, hey, I want to hear more about this. Hey, I want to spend more time with you. Hey. All right? Our words and actions should actually intrigue people and whet their appetite for more of Jesus. That's what it should do, okay? But he also warns us what happens when we're not so savory. Go back to that verse. If the salt has lost its flavor, how shall its saltiness be restored? It can't. Once salt loses its flavor, it's gone. And so Jesus said, it's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. I've never really understood this portion of scripture. I read some commentaries this past week on it, you know, and here's the picture that Jesus gave me. You know, this is not like, oh, this is what this great philosopher or theologian said. This is what the picture Jesus gave me in my head as I was preparing this message. So you can call me a false teacher if you'd like, if this sounds like ungodly to you. But this is the picture that Jesus gave me. I spent quite a few years, 10 and a half, 10 to be exact, 10 years, living in the Midwest. And when the winter months come and a storm is coming in and they know that the roads are going to be icy, they send out these trucks to spread salt all over the road. In our own homes, when our sidewalks are covered with snow or ice, or if we're at our place of business or church and we know that, like, where people are going to be walking is covered with ice, we take salt and we spread it out to melt that snow and ice so that people can actually, like, get to where they need to go. Do you hear where I'm going? Okay? Makes it safe for travel. So when our words and actions are not appealing to people, like we're judgmental, inconsiderate, sarcastic, mean, when we're not able to be used as seasoning for the gospel, no longer are people hearing our words and be like, I want to spend some more time with you. We're simply footing for the next savory person to take over. Do you see that? We simply are just the ones that the people that are giving the people a clean pathway so that the next savory person that comes along can speak to them and draw them in. I mean, we're still believers. But when we aren't speaking the words of love, acceptance, complete love, nothing draws people to us. Nothing brings them back wanting more. Maybe today, maybe this week, we need to ask Jesus, like, I do not want to be used as ice melt. Is there anything that's causing me to be unsavory? Because I don't want that in my life anymore. Oh, let's be savory and keep people wanting more. The next thing that Jesus told us in this passage is to this, be shiny and draw people in. Draw people in. I think honestly, like, he's saying the same thing just in two different ways, right? Well, if you don't understand that you're the salt, maybe you'll understand how you're the light, right? Okay? So Jesus told us we are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. One of my favorite things to do on the Oregon coast is to visit lighthouses. I love going to all these different lighthouses and hear the history of how they would actually, like, make a beacon for fishermen and for cargo ships that are at sea, like, hey, come this way, because if you veer that way or that way, you might hit the rocks, so come this way. This is where you need to go, right? There's a house on the east side of Medford, and at night, when the lights are on in this house, it's on a hill, like, my eyes are drawn to this house. I don't know who lives there. I don't know what is in that house, but I know that my eyes are drawn to it. Like, whoo, that's what light does. It draws people's eyes up to wherever it's coming from. And he even said, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. That house that draws my attention to it when it's light, when it's all lit up, it can't hide. It's right on the edge of a cliff, like on a mountainside. There's nothing keeping it from being part of my vision. I see it. And my eyes, like, I find myself looking for it when I'm driving. Where is that house? I know it has to be there somewhere. Right? probably the entire valley could see that house, quite honestly. And darkness, like complete darkness, I don't know about you, this is how I feel about like complete darkness. It gets to me. It feels almost like claustrophobic. So it feels a little scary, right? I feel like there's like this heaviness when something is completely dark. When I was a teenager, we used to, as a youth group, we used to play sardines in church. Like, you know, one person would go hide, and everyone would have to try to find them and hide and then and stay. And then the last person that found people, then they were out, right? So you would look for the darkest, most like unfavorable place. It was probably a place where all the teenagers went to make out. I didn't, because I didn't have anyone to make out with. That's why we don't play sardines in Hope City. See, even Pastor Tree's like, no, we don't do that. Okay? But I remember like times that I was the person that had to, the first one to go hide, and I would find like dark, like little corners where there was absolutely no light that would hit it, and I'd sit there and I'd be like, oh, please, someone find me fast. Because I felt like there was just this coming around me, where there's zero light coming in, a heaviness seemed to envelop me. But Jesus teaches us to be the light that stomps out the darkness and draws people in. How in the world do we do that? Well, here's how we do it. The writer of Psalms says this: your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light to my path. God, I don't know how to be a light. Good, spend more time in his word. And as he pours into you and increases your knowledge, then that light just shines brighter and brighter and brighter. His word provides direction for us, which then allows our light to shine brighter. The final thing about this is our job is to point people to Jesus. Point people to... What do you mean, Paula? It doesn't say anything about point. I mean, like, that's not what that says. Actually, it says this: in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and what? Give glory to your Father who is in heaven. I'm sorry to tell you this, but it's not about you. It's not. We shouldn't be doing things so that we get recognized for how good we are. Ew. The things that we do should be specifically intended to point people to Jesus. Not about getting praise and accolades for ourselves. You know what? A little bit of that goes a long way. And if you're an employer in this place and you have people working under you, you're a manager at some point, you absolutely should point out good things that you see in your employers. That's called good management. Do it. You should build your people up and let them know they're doing a good job. But when we receive personal accolades, all we need to do is say, thank you. Thank you. And keep doing it. We don't go and brag about it to other people. Like, man, they said all this great things to me. Jesus gave us a clear directive that when we are savory and shiny, we behave differently than the voice of culture. This weird behavior gets people's attention. It gets people's attention. They start asking questions. Our motivation for what we do should be for one thing and one thing only. And that's to say, for Jesus to be like, I am proud of you. Good job. I was thinking about this yesterday when we were doing Growth Track. And we finish up a section in Growth Track about what it looks like to be leaders. Like, what should our heart position be as leaders? And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to show this to everyone today. Because this is the declaration. This is what Jesus is saying. I'm just going to read it out loud to you. Because God has called me to serve my generation, I will value worship over wealth, we over me, character over comfort, service over status, and God's purposes over possessions, positions, popularity, and pleasure. To my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I say, however, whenever, wherever, and whatever you ask me to do, my answer in advance is yes. Wherever you lead and whatever the cost, I'm ready anytime, anywhere. I want to be used by you in such a way that on that final day, I'll hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in and let the eternal party begin. If that is you today and you're like, yes, that is what I want. I want to do that. I want to embody that. I'm stand to your feet right now. Woo! Yeah. Yeah. I think we all. Like this, if this isn't our goal, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.